say to the people, I can never do it. What are they saying? They see me.
Good morning, Chair, members. Just to quickly introduce the team, starting on my immediate right here is the Deputy Director General for Land Planning and Information, Dr. Moses Makhalimela. Left to her is the Deputy Director General for Land and Tenure Reform, Mr. Shabani. Next to him is the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, Mr. Joseph Wanya. Next to him is the Deputy Director General Corporate Services, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sarah Swane. On my immediate left here is the Acting Chief Operating Officer, Mr. A.D. Mugabe. Across is Ms. Annelies Roach in the commission, and then Elton, who you know very well, part of the Senate itself. Next to him, another part of the Senate, I think, Rinaldi. Next to Rinaldi, Jaya Chetty, who's relatively new in our parliamentary office here. Thanks, Chen, of the team, and myself. Yes, I have asked the Chief Operating Officer to make the presentation. He is responsible for... So the Chief Operations Officer will make a presentation. He is, amongst other things, responsible for monitoring departmental performance.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Perhaps before I make the presentation, I should make just two remarks. I hope I'm audible. Can people hear me? First, I just want to touch base with the departmental performance framework so that we can conceptualize the reports that you are having in front of you. The members in the interaction that they have been having with the department has been based on the basis of the strategic plan that you have. What the department does, it takes the strategic plan and develop operational plans, which are annual operational plans. Now, based on the operational plans, we then develop quarterly plans to report on that operational plan. And on a quarterly basis, we then track the performance, and we have quarterly meeting, which we call QRAM, which its aim is to review, assess, and analyze the performance of the department in that particular quarter. And then so that if there are any targets that have not been met, we've got to understand why have they not been made, what kind of remedial action needs to be implemented to make sure that those targets that have not been made are indeed met in the quarter following. And to do any adjustments to targets in the following quarter should it so be required if there is any deficit in terms of the target in the previous quarter. Now, in terms of that, the process is that 7 days after the quarter has finished, the quarter in this financial year being April, May, June, so by the 7th of July, 7 days after the quarter has finished, chief directors are expected to have completed their quarterly report, reporting on the quarter. And then the DDGs, Deputy Directors General, then have 7 days in which to interact with the chief director to check if there is anything amiss or if anything is not correctly reported in terms of the quarter. Then from there, it goes to the office of the COO where an analysis of performance is done. Subsequent to that, we then have Shura, where the department then interrogates the performance. We are going to be having our quarterly, our Shura from the 30th of August until the 1st of September. So I'm saying that in the context that what the members have in front of themselves here has not been thoroughly interrogated by the department as a whole, which is going to happen in August.
I
was coming to you, that was going to be the second point I was going to raise, Chair. Okay. But maybe just going directly to that particular issue. The quarterly report that you are having is for the, we've got two quarters here. We are supposed to be reporting in terms of the first quarter of 2007-2008, which means reporting on April, May, and June. But we have included, as you see here, we've got January to March 2006-2007, and April to June 2007-2008, to try to address the request of the portfolio committee. Now,
if I may just come in on that one, with regards to January to March 2006-2007 financial year, what I would like the committee to note is that that is also going to be part of our annual report, because that's the final quarter in terms of our financial year. So we may have to come back to it again when we present the annual report later in the year.
Then in terms of the quarterly reporting now, we had a challenge, Chair, in the sense that when we report on operational plan is by itself longer, more detailed than the strategic plan. And the package that we have, you'll find that it is quite long. And I know that in terms of the slides, you've got something like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, supposedly about 20. And the challenge was, how do I cut down the slides that had 48 slides to 20? And being very, very careful that what the things that I take out, or what is the basis for me taking them out, the ones that I leave, because I don't want to create an impression that I'm taking out things that where there's no performance by the department or hiding anything. So the honorable members do have the whole entire package. I've tried to summarize and abridge that report. I'm going to, not going to be touching everything, just highlighting the key ones that I thought will be of importance to the portfolio committee. And the last thing, Chair, this is my maiden presentation to the portfolio committee, and I thought I should set the high standard. And this is the high standard I'm going to set, Chair. I'm going to make the presentation. All the easier questions I'm going to delegate to my team here. Then I'm going to leave my email address
the portfolio committee members can send all the difficult questions to me. The focus of the presentation will be a brief overview of the fourth quarter of 2006-2007 financial year, the details of which will be, as the details indicated, be clearly articulated in the annual report, which has to be tabled by the end of September this year. However, the focus, the detailed focus, will be on the first quarter, like I indicated, April to June this year. In terms of program, we have tried to put the presentation to be in line with the strategic plan that the members have. And in terms of program one, which incorporates both the office of the DG and administration, I've just highlighted the output relating to empowerment of women and children, children's rights and older persons. And the target that we have was that by 31st of March 2007, we should be having gender-specific objectives and targets for women. And what we have done so far in terms of that is that land reform operational plans have been analyzed to ensure that these issues are integrated into land reform operational plans. And we also said that we wanted to have guidelines that programs developed, and we said we wanted to have seven, and these have been developed and are available. Still on the guidelines for empowerment of women, we said that we're going to target the monitoring of reporting on mainstreaming gender into a land reform process by 31st of March. And what we have done up to so far is that this has been happening and the information is available, which is being done on a quarterly basis. With regards to, and we're still under reporting in terms of the Office of the DG, in terms of policy issues, new policy in terms of foreign land ownership, we say that the policy should be available by March 2008. But now we are reporting to say what is it that we have done towards that particular target. As the members will know, the final report has been even tabled in cabinet. And we have moved very far in terms of that. And obviously, having been tabled in cabinet, there have been consultations with the clusters, economic clusters, social clusters, and so forth. So consultations have happened in that regard. In terms of the reviewing of the willing buyer, willing seller principle, we said that there should be a report by the 31st of March. To date, what we have is we have consolidated interest and also developed regulatory measures in terms of the state intervening in the open land market to speed up land reform. With regards to the bill on surveying profession, we said that the surveying profession bill will be available by 31st of March. To date, what we have done in terms of that has been an extensive consultation with relevant stakeholders. With regard to LAM, Land Use Management Bill, we said that this should be approved by 31st of March, and also extensive consultation has happened, it has been presented to cabinet as well. Like I indicated, program one incorporates both the ODG, Office of the DG, as well as administration. And these are some of the targets that I have put out from the report that we are having in front of you. The first one that I put there is in relation to the structure and the capability of the department to deliver on land reform. And we said that two key things there, one being the structure, the norms, and the establishment based on and talking to the organizational objectives, the one that underpinned by organizational objectives, to say by August 2006. The norms, business processes, were finalized in December 2006, and leadership alignment also initiated. Another indicator was in relation to capacity building to address both the short-term, medium, and long-term capacity needs of the department. And we talked about October 2006. The draft plan has been completed, and the retention strategy, how to retain the staff to make sure that the capacity of the department to deliver is not undermining anywhere. It has been reviewed. The strategy, the retention strategy has been reviewed. But to clearly, the revitalization strategy alignment was one indicator. Reporting was another one, and we talk about March 2007 and two reports, one including July 2006. And this has been achieved. Department programs, service delivery indicators, as well as the citizen charter has been developed and right now in the process of approval. We have addressed the issue of the client satisfaction through a survey, and also in short that the challenges are addressed as part of the program of service delivery indicators plan of the department. One other important output was the development of a framework, of a needs-based skills development framework. And we indicated several performance indicators there with specific targets. One was a consultation with stakeholders, and we said that there should be a needs analysis report by March 2007. We said there should be availability of skills audit, March 2007 again, and we said that there should be a training program for learning reform beneficiaries based and informed by the framework that has been developed. And we said March 2007. Consultations have been undertaken with the PLROs and beneficiaries of identified projects, and skills audit have been conducted in terms of the beneficiaries that have been identified, and also need analysis have been completed. We have not achieved the objectives relating to the database, but this particular output has been carried forward into the next quarter. Like I said, what we do when we review the performance, we identify which targets have we not met, what are the reasons, and what remedial action needs to be implemented to make sure that that particular target that has not been met is indeed met in the quarter that follows. And this is one of the targets that we are carrying forward. And also the training program has not been achieved. The magnitude of the task at hand was underestimated when we are developing the target. And this output has subsequently also been carried forward into the next quarter. Critically to the capacity of the department to deliver have been targets relating to saying that we as a department, we are not going to be able to do land reform by ourselves. And therefore, there is a particular need for us to identify stakeholders with whom we can share this responsibility, with whom we can cooperate to make sure that effective land reform takes place. And one of the targets that we had was to say partnership needs to be identified by March 2007. And in relation to that, we have partially achieved that. And we have memorandum of understanding with the University of Fort Hare, for example, say that we have identified an institutional partner with whom we can partner to make sure that we address the skill deficiencies that we have identified which are necessary for effective learning to take place. We have also identified some critical areas within learning reform itself where there are shortage of skills. Like here, for example, geometrics and learning information management are two of the areas that have been identified as a scarce skills area where we do need to have special intervention to address those. In that regard, we identified to say that we need to have 90 bursaries, and we have achieved that particular target. We have also said that linked to the national priority of addressing unemployment, we need to leverage the pool of graduates that are unemployed in the country. And we set the target for 150 interns being incorporated into the department, working with the department, and we have exceeded the target. We've got 218 interns appointed. Reporting on the performance that has been done on a monthly basis, and we have several fora that we are also using for this particular purpose. This includes, for instance, the NINCOM as well, STRATCOM, and other structures within the department, where we are reporting on the performance of the department on a monthly basis. That was in relation to program one. In terms of program two, I've also just picked up some few areas that I thought I could just highlight here. The one that related to surveys and mapping is the output about access to geospatial information. And we said that we need to measure our performance in relation to the outlet in district and municipal area, and we said 40 outlets per year. And we've got 9 outlets, and up to so far, that's our performance to date. Also linked to the skills issue that I've just spoken about, we said we need to promote geometrics as a career. We said that we are going to target 69 bursary schemes, and we have outperformed there. We've got 53 bursary schemes today. The other area that I have highlighted in terms of the how surveys and mapping provide support to land reform. And this is the integrated approach that we have been very much promoting. And we said that the performance indicator will be to say how long does it take cadastral surveys to provide support. What is the number of days? And the 90 days, and the support has been provided within 18 days, which means that target has been achieved. With regards to program C, cadastral survey management, I've also highlighted some critical outputs and the actual performance to the target relating to those outputs. The output relating to the completion of special information pertaining to all land parcels in South Africa, both in paper and paper digital format. We said that performance should be measured by the time it takes for all illustrated land parcels to be added to the database. It said 15 days, and this particular target was met by cadastral survey and management, took 15 days. The second one, the request for information from government departments and the public. This links up to the issue of caring government to say, are we really living the principle of Batupili? Are we giving people efficient service? And we said that the standard, the measure, should be information should be provided within 5 days.
and that 5 days as a target has been met by Kadastra Survey Malaysia.
The other one, the Kadastra Survey Management Service applied in all provinces. This relates very much to the governmental priority of taking services to the people. And we said that one new Surveyor General's office to be established, and we said Limpopo, and currently we have advertised the post, the office has been renovated, infrastructure is being installed to make sure that we can reach our target in relation to Limpopo as being the province for this particular year. And as the portfolio committee members will appreciate, this is the target for the quarter. So every quarter has got its target in relation to Limpopo as a target. So there will be other targets for the next quarter relating specifically to Limpopo. Still under related to cadastral survey management is the issue of amended survey legislation. I've spoken to about we said that the measure will be the implementation of the new Surveying Profession Act, be promulgated by the 31st of March 2007, and we've got a draft bill that has been drafted. In my discussion with the commissioner, I indicated that the report on the commission, I did not change it altogether. I did not abridge it. I left it as it is. What you have is what I have here. And the rationale are quite simple. That given the fact that in terms of what the state president said, what the president said in the State of the Nation address about restitution and claims being completed by 2008, then it means if we're working within that framework, we have about 6 to 7 months left for the commission. So the more we come towards the target, the more we need to report on it. But I will perhaps not go into the detail of restitution reporting, because members have got it there, unless, Chair, you want me to go through every aspect of the presentation of restitution. I need your guidance on that. The one important output, all restitution claims settled. The target was 3,200, and up to so far, 983. Were settled. And what I'm saying very specifically where, because remember that you're speaking from a particular chivot until a particular chivot. So the status up to now, today, will be different from there. Statement released for restitution purposes, we said memorandum of agreement in place, September 2006. This one has not been finalized. Guidelines first had to be finalized. And this was done by February 2007. Settlement support processes of land claims with development aspects facilitated to ensure sustainable development. And we said the target by March 2008, all settlement plans finalized with sustainability checklist. And progress and your performance is that all settlement support strategy was finalized by March 2007, and the implementation is an ongoing process. restitution project aligned with municipalities IDPs March 2008. Now, if this is ongoing, because the target is March 2008, in fact, I don't even have to touch on that one. Claim or alternative land restored to restitution claimants, in fact, 100% of agricultural land restored to restitution claimants by March 2008. You should not be reporting the site on this one, but just for information, 122,000 hectares approved for restoration at 742 million rand. restitution beneficiaries capacitated to ensure sustainable settlement. Instead, by December 2007, we need to see skills development framework in place for adequate capacitation of restitution beneficiaries by that particular date. And actual performance up to so far is that this is an ongoing. The Commission and the Administrator have done a joint proposal for new identification in terms of high potential funds falling within the Administrator for skills development. So there is that partnership happening between the institution and Administrator to address the issue of skills within this particular framework. Secure tenure for all people working and living on commercial farms and people on communal areas. And we said by September 2006, the strategy should be in place to secure tenure for all people living and working on commercial farms. And in terms of the strategy, in terms of the strategy that the Commission has, all regional land claims commissions are addressing the rights of people when they do restitution. They do address the rights of people currently on the land. For example, by including them in the settlement of liaising with the PLRO officers. But as the comment highlights, these practices, we still need to formalize them in terms of the strategy that needs to be finalized by 2007, July. So it is happening, it's just that it needs to be formalized, and the strategy will affect. Regarding the output that talks to productive white-owned agricultural land provided to Black South Africans for sustainable agricultural development, there are two indicators, performance indicators relating to this. One is the hectares that needs to be redistributed, and we're talking about 2.5 million hectares. The other one is the beneficiaries, the number of beneficiaries who actually benefit from their hectareage. To ensure performance against the target 2.5 million hectares is 258,000 hectares. And there's a deficit in terms of that particular target. But in terms of the target relating to the beneficiary benefiting from the hectareage of land that has been redistributed, we have exceeded the target. The target was 7,500, and our actual performance is 9,400. In terms of the labor tenants being settled in a manner that promotes their socioeconomic development and social justice, we talked about the number of labor claims that have been referred to court and finalized. The target was 200. We have now performed very, very admirably in that area. And also the second indicator is in relation to claims that needs to be finalized in the 2006-2007 year. And our target was 6,000 and our achievement was 589. We have also not done very well in terms of that.
Not yet. Taking a break.
Just for the question, these targets are not quarterly targets. These are annual targets.
For this one.
Program 6, the young lady, I'm going to try to move as fast as possible. I put up three targets there in the main. One relating to suitable and most economically located land for development. And we said that we need to have provision clean land, and we said four provinces, so that was our target. And up to so far, we have completed land suitability for four provinces, but relating to that. The second one was output relating to special development framework. And we said a draft framework and guidelines be developed, and we said August 2006. Up to so far, a special development framework evaluation is available and has been assessed as per province, and guidelines and projects are still need to be finalized. The related to the output that talks to training service and special information provided to local area, we targeted four provinces, and we have done more, and more visits to other MPCCs in Eastern Cape, Northern Cape are still to take place. The last program is deep registration. This registration, I'm going to try to be quick as well. We had a target to say that registration should not take more than 6 days after lodgement. My understanding is that the target has been met in these offices. We said also that RDPA housing development, upgrading to freehold ownership, that registration should also not take more than 5 years. The report I've got from this is that the target has been met. All land reform projects are expedited and do not take more than 5 days. With regards to the target relating to the amendment of the DIF registry, progress to date is that the target has not been met. Rollout of camera replacement will be completed during the first quarter of 2007-2008. So this target will also then be moved into the second quarter. As members will know, there is the service provider who has been appointed, IBM and Nokusa, were appointed in the fourth quarter of the past financial year to implement the turnaround strategy of DIC. And they're still working on the implementation of the plan to turn around this operation. Thank you, Chair. I will hand over to the CFO to talk to the financial performance for 2006-2007.
Thank you, it was very difficult. I think the issue of how do we align our reports and take into account that this sort of time in terms of your calendar year or the way you report. Like we are reporting to the financial year that starts April and in March. Now you should note also that because we are already in the second quarter of the new financial year, it was difficult to say we present financial reports for a quarter because whatever results that you're presenting now, basically we're focusing now on what we are doing now in terms of current activity. So what is done is we are presenting the financial performance for the year. So that is a little bit in terms of where we are. So to the close year, we are now into a new year. So just to keep going through that, can you go to the slide, Eddie? We'll start with the bottom line there. It's just to look at the snapshot of the department, say, you know, what was allocated there was $3.7 billion for the year starting April 2006 to March 2007. Actual expenditure, $3.725 billion. So if you look at that overall, it tells you then that we only had $5 million that was not spent. And that is why it brings us to a 99% spending overall, of the department. If you go into programs, you see that most of the programs have really done very well compared to the previous year. We have serious problems, we are all 99%, 100%. You look at even the institution, we had to seek funds from other programs that we had to training to augment the budget of the institution so that we end up with that 100%. Land reform as well, we've been able to push also there. Primarily because of the approach in terms of flats, where we are now practically buying them. Obviously, we still have to work on issues of ensuring that we tie up the governance issues there, but mainly in terms of how our performance has really been set up, it is based on flats. So that is the picture in terms of that past year, and as the DG has indicated, we are going to get, we will get an opportunity to engage with it when we present the annual report. In September also.
For the maiden institution in Parliament, then for maiden institution, the maiden speech. So I'll to honorable man. And also, I would like to highlight and comment that this is our first exercise. As we all need to understand, because it's our first exercise, we don't know even the approach how to come up with the exercise that we should come in line with our progress. So, with agriculture, it was also the same. Knowing where to start, so we understand until we get there. Without any waste of time, then I will ask Member Kudra any questions that arise from the maiden presentation.
That's why I'm speaking first.
But my main one was that we're now in trade with oil, so the first one.
Yes, the staff retention strategy that is being used. I understand that you've always had a problem of staff turnover. What new strategy do you devise to ensure that you can retain staff? Regarding the land reform, the media resource and consultants, with regard to the skills development framework, what kind of land reform beneficiaries are in terms of the various programs that we have? Now, the other provinces that do not yet have subject rural offices, which one are they? Somewhere it says the outstanding land claims are 8,107. And yet, and they are supposed to be settled by yet to say the target is 2,236. What is happening to the remaining campaigns? Again, on the question of 6,000 black South Africans having acquired previously fight on agricultural land, 6,000. How many whites were owning this land that is now acquired, that has now been acquired by 6,000 blacks? You did register. We were working on it to communicate the race, gender, and so on of the land owner. Now, currently, is the race and gender, and so on of land, of people acquiring land, is being indicated now. And previously, the police was not to indicate. Lastly, on the matter of only 5 million rand in North Spanish, any particular reason as to why is it that near 5 million rand in North Spanish?
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Captain. Look, I didn't start with the last question of the near 5 million rand. I think maybe we are going to get some details from it. And I was just checking with my witch next to me, but of course you corrected me. There was one who came before us around the finances. There was 1 million rand that was saved somewhere. And we have not been told, I think it was the last figure here, financial year, what happened to that 1 million rand? And how that 1 billion was spent. Maybe you just need to inform a question on that one. Back to the program one. Program one is draft framework is blocked but not finalized. We just need to advise why this draft framework has not been finalized. What is the problem for not being finalized, and when is it going to be finalized? The other question is the willing seller, willing buyer. You know, slide number 5. You know, this issue has been coming up for quite some time. Review. Since some correct 2004, 2005, we've been talking about this review. When is this going to be? Can you just give, well, in terms of this one, you are saying the target date is 31st March 2007, which I'm assuming, therefore, that it has been reviewed. So, which means now, from the 1st of April, that is the current financial year, you are no longer using willing seller, willing buyer. That is my assumption. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So, this is an area which already has been bothering us for quite some time. I don't think we have any progress so far. The other issue here is in relation to the legislation which are indicated here. Land use management is in place. There are provisions for the 31st March, which is I think 2007. I'm hoping that this is finalized now or is about to finalize, because I don't think there any legislation that has come before us yet. So far. Same on the corporate service, same program one administration. There's an area here where you referred to the target of October 26, that is the draft HR plan implemented, Daniel Gold Server. The decision strategies review. Can you get some explanation there in terms of the retention strategy? Because I'm sure we have in one department, I won't say this one, where they had a problem with the system strategy. So that one is in terms of this one, has it been reviewed, and that's included, that's been made as well. The target was, of course, last year's policy. Which, again, links the capacity to the plan, to part of the strategy that we have. Yeah. The other issue, Chair, is an issue that has been very important to us some time ago when the red team before us on the set plan, the Matopini issue. Here is reflected as the target two reports. Maybe just explain to us what are these two reports first. And 6 months reporting. What has been the progress in terms of this monthly reporting around this particular issue? You talk here about the aspects and the grant report as well as slightly the settings are being completed. I want you to be able to receive the copy of the survey that has been received in relation to the responses that you are getting from your client satisfaction around this particular issue. If you can have that, because the target here was also last year to see. The other issue here is in relation to your need-based field development. Skills body. I'm sure this also one was finalized, also marked for children, connected in the steps identified beneficial. I want you to be also informed in terms of your discussion, whether were you satisfied about after that skill process is done, related to the beneficiaries, and what plan is in place in the areas where you are not satisfied about that particular skill process. The other issue here is in relation to the partnership, your MOU, which I will link, of course, with another one that is in the second part of the conversation. This MOU, I want to see the achievement which has been achieved by this MOU and the progress so far by this individual MOU. In particular, I'll link with the on tiers of local government. Because if I remember correctly, I can't remember which presentation I passed off, where there was a problem of the coordination between the departments. And there was an issue which was raised around the MOU, which I also raised the question that if you look at the cluster, how the clusters are operating, and these MOUs, whether they are achieving the goal what they try to achieve. I want to say that we should talk to our sustainable development, which then links to the local authorities. The local voter, I'll come back in terms of this one. We will deal with the teaching process. It's where the problem is. In relation to the beneficiaries of the land reform and the local government, where the ICC of the local government they are talking to the beneficiaries in terms of the land reform, which leads to the MOU as well. The progress so far in terms of that particular one. Disaster recovery. 100%. 5% infrastructure implemented and 50% connectivity established. Here, I don't know whether maybe I'll be correct. If I've been linking the infrastructure connectivity, maybe they say that's the same one. What is infrastructure connectivity? And disaster recovery is the same for the new economy. In terms of our thinking about the infrastructure, about the issues which relate to the land reform, maybe we should explain to us in terms of that one, but there was not one question, so what does that mean in terms of the issue at stake? The other question here will be on restitution, program 4. I think my honorable bosses asked some of the questions here. But I want to link in terms of the Noranda Upa Permit in place for Kenya's release of state land for the execution process by September 2016, was of course last year. I want to link this, and of course I want to see the opportunity said because the commissioner was not part of the previous presentation. We are still waiting for the report. When for state land, I want to refer to the Bumalanga, Matalapom. Land claim. That Matalapom land claim, which has been before yourself for the past 3 to 5 years, if I'm correct. That is not the same. And it's a part, it's a. What do you call it? Doesn't matter. Public work. Yeah. It's a public work land. It's about 80 hectares. Only 80 hectares, acres. then that community is in White River. That community has claimed that for the past 5 years there has not been any progress. And if I read the asset correctly, they asked the commissioner there, which after Fujoshi's action, they went to the commissioner himself. And the commissioner referred them back to the Mpumalanga Commission. It was just a back and forth. And they even went to the premier in Mpumalanga, which they could not get any joy at all. So they are stuck as of now. I just want to say in terms of the progress of the accident, the unconnected man, that's your friend, in Matapia, I was also compared to the progress the other state left. Which I think the problem with that one, my second one there, they came before us about 4 years, three or four years ago. Then at that stage, the department was present and the commissioners were present. And we were promised about 4 or 5 years ago that that process was going to be speeded up. Today, nothing has happened. That's my serious problem. Because things I'm told by, I spoke to George, I think it was yesterday, when I spoke to him, and I believe that those delegates that were here, they reported back to the community. Now the committee is saying that the parliament has let them down, because we're doing nothing else. And we are promised by, at that stage by the commission in this case that they are telling the matter, and the matter is going to come up. I want to get really a concise and detailed report in terms of that. If I may proceed, in terms of the, you know, I think we've been aware of what we're doing in terms of the local government, I think that's critical. And also in terms of this MOU, I wonder if what is the role of the traditional leader in terms of this direction? Because you've been coming before us and telling us in certain areas, you're Limpopo, you're Mpumalanga, and parts of the Eastern Cape. In particular also what Luna passed around the traditional, and we even advised you how to deal with this particular mission. We even offered you a service of the president of the Controller, which I think you are aware of the president of the Controller, in terms of his services rendered to yourself, but I don't think he has even used those services so far. And linking that question, if you allow me, KZN. We were told some time ago that in certain areas where the lane are being saved, there is a problem in terms of inserting statistics who sometimes deal with these matters in a manner which is not really conducive for the progress in terms of areas. One can also bring up in terms of the progress that has been done so far. So let's see, if you am allowed, quickly go to the challenges under the land reform implementation. The challenge is on page 46. If I look at the challenges here, which are in this particular place, you are claiming the challenges here. The land price unaffordable. And I want to draw for the fact that that's how the city grant structure. And sellers withdrawing. As the sellers withdrawing because of your delay, of the process, and it is the same answer. What is the problem with this? It's just the salary. I also wanted to address as in relation to the new grant model, the required treasurer and cabinet approval. Have you approached them? What they said in terms of this particular under each other. The other one, in terms of the challenge, is going to allow me the overlapping restitution claims on the same land, names, whatever. This issue has been coming before for quite some time. And I believe when we had our report, if I remember, last report, where we advised them, some of them, and I remember also there was in the court case, which in this court case, it was Northwest, or other Northwest of the court case, where you advised us that out of that court case, he's going to assist in terms of speaking of this. This is still coming in terms of the challenge. It is then linked to the labor tenant. No, sir, this worries me. Because about, again, 3 or 4 years ago, it was in the period of Comrade Master Chairman, where we had a public hearing in Good Hope Chamber, where we advise the pastor in terms of our Christians of the Labour Chamber. We gave them a complete instruction. I want to know from them if they are seeing part of challenges. Why do Labour Chamber are not Christian in terms of the legal representation? Well, they are saying here the challenge. And I couldn't understand. You know, they can meet in the first, it will be a complete MOU the first in terms of the university. Modern university, but what we call the legal clinic, modern university. They've got this legal clinic, which those legal clinics are the same for the assistance of some of the professors. They've got legal resource centers, which are available for your services. They've got their own legal department. Why is this thing coming to the college? Municipalities do not apply for support from the department. Are they aware of that support? Can you advise them about support? In terms of these MOUs, I mean, advising them in terms of what they're supposed to do if they're not applying. And if they're not applying, what are you doing about the resources that have been for municipalities? Interesting, that's also that I can come back to the the other challenge is for corporate services. We are talking here about awaiting approval of proposed new structure. We are on page 44. This worries me to say because one time I attended to another meeting where this issue came up, and I was told off the record that the DGs are responsible in terms of making sure that these new structures are approved. And one way or another, they've stalled this particular
function.
And I just want to know what is going on in terms of these new proposals. If they are not even implemented, that are part of the challenge. You know, and I'm talking about the skin shortages, I'm talking about the supporting system, not many other issues, but there are factors that are waiting for quite some time. For the past few months, in fact, this particular issue. Appointment of two senior managers in business information management turned down due to inflexible recruitment system. Because sometimes you get to see that one way or another there is a reluctance of the implementation of this program. I don't know. Whether maybe this flexibility means that you must employ your friends and your boyfriends and girlfriends and your family. Because of the flexibility of that, then the point is turned down. I don't know. Just tell us. What does this supposed to mean? The intelligence for surveys and measures is leading skills at an alarming rate. One. That's it. The biggest challenge for faced by is inability to recruit and retain skilled staff. I referred previously around the retention strategy. Talk to that retention strategy and refer to this challenge. If they talk to one another in terms of this particular issue. So let me stop there. I'll come back because there are a few questions about what is that and they lose in terms of the point. What if I ask them too many ones and they skip others and come back? Let me end that coming back.
If I remember correctly, the minister prioritized this bill, and the deadline for submission to be passed this year was the 13th of July. So how are you going to see this? Thank you.
guys may be going to work on the support with other people. The one that is working in agriculture is not only relating to the program in place, but they are heavy with after handing over the land of the land of the country. If there are no any questions, then
I'll bail him out.
I was hoping that after the challenges, I would see the positive solution to the challenges. But I don't think it is. Should we be also coming up with the positive solution to the challenges? Yes, I can define. So it doesn't help much when you can be identified and facing how you propose to overcome it. And then the other question there relates to the matter of restitution, where in the presence of the traditional country, when land is restored to the Kenyan, you find that the CCA is established. Doesn't that give rise to conflict between traditional countries and the CCA, where they are supposed to be operating in the same area, especially in cases like in Ghana, where people are removed in order to make way for sugar plantations, for example. And then you find that when land is restored to the people now, those who are directly affected are now called upon to form CCA without any role for the personal country. When the land is started,
All right, thank you. We tended to be a bit confused because I think Honorable Zale started the whole thing. Because we made a presentation on the fourth quarter, now he started to ask questions even on the other quarter, which was not presented. Perhaps that's a blessing in disguise, that we may not have to present the other quarter. But be that as it may, in terms of responding to the questions, as Eddie said earlier, that we will divide the labor amongst ourselves here in responding to the questions. I have heads of branches whose programs have been reported upon, and I think they will respond to most of the questions that have been asked. But from my side, let me respond to about four questions immediately. The first one was around how many wives owned agricultural land. Let me just correct the figure that you put up there. It was supposed to be 60,000. They've left another zero. And that 60,000 by 2014, that's our target. Now, if you come to wives that old agricultural land, the figure is between 40,000 and 45,000 white farmers. The second question I want to respond to is the review of the willing buyer, willing seller. Honorable Zale, that has been done. It's been completed as far as the department is concerned. Presentations have been made to the minister in this regard, and she has made her comments, and in the next week we will be giving her the final draft
on the willing buyer, on the review of the willing buyer, willing seller. And I'm hoping that in the near future we will be in a position to share that with the portfolio committee as well. So to answer your question, the review has been completed as far as the department is concerned. On the policy on land ownership by foreigners, we are not sure when it will come to the committee, but it will definitely come. The panel of experts finalized their report in March this year. The report has been presented to Cabinet. Cabinet has generally accepted the report and has requested now the department to develop a policy based on that report and legislation where it is necessary to legislate. I'm sure that at some point it will be brought before the committee for their indulgence. The last one that I want to respond to, I agree with Honorable Olomisa that we should have indicated solutions. However, I think some of the solutions are already in our strategic plan. If you look at our strategic plan for this financial year, as well as the one for last year, but until such time that we implement some of the things, for example, the willing buyer, willing seller review is coming up with a certain recommendation on how we can deal with the question of the market that seems to be stalling land reform. The report points out very clearly that the market cannot redistribute land. It needs to be assisted in order to do so. So the state has to come up with certain interventions in that regard. When the market fails, definitely the state has to come in. And the menu of interventions is suggested in the review on how the state can come in, amongst others, expropriation, subdivision of agricultural land, setting up of land ceilings, and so on. So these challenges, there are some solutions contained in some of our plans for this financial year. Now, on the restitution questions, I would ask the Chief Land Planning Commissioner to respond to all those questions that are made to restitution. On matters that pertain to HR, human resources, management and development, I will ask the DPG Corporate Services to respond to those questions. There are also questions that relate to the land planning and information, particularly the question around land use management bill, as well as the Surveyor General's offices. The DDG responsible will respond to those questions. If we may start, let's start with restitution. Okay, the other one that I think I should respond to, and I thought I would respond to that before the Chief Land Planning Commissioner comes in, the organizational structure delay. I thought DDG Corporate Services would also respond to that, but I can respond to that one as well. We have submitted the structure to the minister. I think we submitted it in June. We are still, we discussed it with her. We presented it to her. She gave some preliminary comments, which we have addressed, and we have resubmitted so we are waiting, because she had asked for further discussion. We are waiting here to someone ask for such a discussion. So the proposed new organizational structure has been finalized by the department. It's a matter of the minister agreeing or not agreeing with what we're proposing, and also taking it to the Minister for Public Service and Administration, particularly as it pertains to senior management posts. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Chairperson. I pondered about the 9 or 30 of these questions. We can look through them. The first one it relates to the outstanding claim. I think the correct figure is that there are 5,279 claims that we are outstanding in, as at the quarter of March, and I think it's the challenge of having two quarters. That one is reporting about, one relating to the previous financial year, and the other one. The outstanding claims are 5,279 claims. As we speak, we have updated that, and we are looking at the strategy to resolve them. We'll be presenting that to you in our next report to you. On the issue of the amount that was paid from last year, the previous financial year, was 1 million. And that 1 million, we spoke to further that we may not be able to spend, that we explained to this honorable committee why we could not spend that money, that it was related to development, which was delayed. So if you buy land, there are development steps that you've got to follow, and those developments take longer. So that was why that money could not be spent. We spoke to Treasury, and we indicated that we would like them to note that funds that relate to development may have to be rescheduled. That's why we have to agree with them to put in a very simple language to reschedule that 1 billion. In fact, as a matter of fact, in this year's budget, reducing in particular has got 3.3 billion for this current financial year. And we have already made a request to further, because the way we are spending now, we think that this budget will not be adequate for restitution. So we have asked them to say, when we don't have adequate funds for this current financial year, can we recall that 1 billion that we have agreed with them to reschedule? The point I'm making is that amount which was paid is still available. It's not as easy as that when you deal with treasure, you've got to follow certain procedures. Even to do that. The other question relates to the implementation of the MOU. The one around state land, that we would have an agreement with state land, how to make state land available. We have had focused meetings with the state land unit of the TLFS, of the Department of Land Affairs, and we have agreement that in that area about how we are going to fast track making state land available for land reform. But I must say here that we had a challenge that it is not only the Department of Land Affairs that is responsible for state land. We also have public works. We also have the Army Defense. We have other departments, even provincial departments. So we do have an interdepartmental committee that is attending to that to make state land available. And that in that departmental task team is the one that is trying to subscribe making state land available for land. We had indicated before that we had a challenge with state land that sits in the municipality. For example, in the Western Cape, we still have a matter of the transferring state land, which is in the hands of the municipality, to be available for land reform beneficiaries, claimants in particular. And we still have a challenge around that, because the municipality believe that is their land, and in the Western Cape, for example, they are even making that land available for other developments. They even sell it to private private hands. So it's a challenge with some of the municipalities to make that state land available for land from private. If you ask about MOUs between us and the municipalities, some of them are working, some of them are not working. For example, I've got a case here with District Sitwe. We've got a framework agreement around making land available for restitution claimants here in Cape Town. We are coming to a cul-de-sac where that land may not be as available as the framework says it should be available. Because the municipality is of a different view. Even though there is a signed framework agreement, that land is not as available as we have agreed with them. So the MOU, some of them are working, some of them are not working because of the different leadership that we have in those municipalities. Around Mpumalanga, the Matalascom land in White River. We are still getting the report from the province about the latest, but the way I know this case is that some of the claimants, the land, the municipality wants to use that land for housing purposes. They are claiming that they have earmarked that land for cross development. We had asked the claimants to make a determination of the portion of land, like we have done in other municipalities, the portion of land that they, as the claimants, would require for residential purposes, so that they can be allocated, in other words, they can be included in the list for the housing development that the municipality wants for that area. And then we have been trying to get alternative land for that land that we may not be able to restore in the practice, in the normal practice that we have in restitution. Some of the claimants have agreed to opt for that alternative land if we can get it. Of course, we still have a challenge of how to get that land, because around that White River is a farming land. So we're trying to get the alternative land on the one hand, and then we're trying to incorporate, include some of the claimants in the housing development so that they are also beneficiaries of the housing development. But there are some claimants who are still insisting on getting all of that land, in other words, to stop the development of the municipality for that housing development. So that one is a challenge. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to get the latest report on that discussion, how far that discussion has gone. It seems there is a conflict around the options that have been presented, so that discussion is still going on. On the Ongelep neck problem, I think this committee is aware of the challenge around this. This is a state land. The two programs, the Provincial Land Reform Office and the Restitution, had interested parties on this land. The land was promised and not transferred to those people who are using that land, who are it's an under a list arrangement. they were promised that they could have an access to that land when it is sold, because they were leasing it. But then on the other hand, the restitution claimants were saying that they have got their rights to that land, whether it was sold or not sold, they would have to be restored to that land. In other words, they believe strongly that the restitution legislation, the rights are stronger, and therefore they would have to be given that land, and it cannot be sold to the people that live in it now. So the conflict was around that, and the claimants trying to get alternative land for the claimants has not worked, because we were thinking of an amicable solution around that problem. And it is very clear that the claimants are resolved that they want the land, and in terms of restitution, they believe strongly that they should get that land, and it was wrong to promise these people that they would be sold this land when in fact they were just living in that land. So the matter has not been resolved. Still, we're trying to mediate on the resolution of the conflict. The matter may go to court. Perhaps the court may be adjudicating on the matter to resolve it. But I've not been given the report of what is the latest in the resolution of that conflict. So that's the report that we were here on the 1st of August. So that's the report that I'm still getting from the two offices, the Office of the Provincial Land Reform Office in East London, as well as the Office of the Commission. They will be able to tell us what is the latest report on that one. And then on the...
I want to see the Commission. When did the report? Was it called that? Was the Chief Minister of the World Training Back?
It was precisely the argument of the claimant that the leases were never up to date in terms of the leases. All the leases of the state land in that area are kept in the Provincial Land Reform Office, which is in East London. That's where they must make payments. And now those leases have never been up to date. Now, as to the competing claims, whether who is the actual claimant, I think it's the report that will be able to elaborate on that. I don't have to say.
It's the only claim to mention. And he has been proved, as he said, that the land belongs to others, to one or another was property owner, and the land belongs to the other. And it's not that he didn't develop. So why can't the land go to the owner? It's even the list of the leasing group is not even leasing property. To me, if there is an alternative land, that should be found. It should be found for the ones that are used to have. And give back the land to the original owner. That's what I think, you know, according to the Restitution Act, they are the right person. And if you want to give the alternative land, let it be given to the leader.
And for your information, that matters in court already. I don't know if any of your commission has already filed it. That matters in court already.
Thank you, Chair. I think, as we have promised on the first, we will give you the latest report on that. On that one. On the question of the role of the traditional leaders, I will link this question with the other question that has been raised by the Honourable Chief. The traditional leaders, the way we approach this is that we include the traditional leaders in the legal entities that we establish, whether they are trust or the CPAs. Because the CPA, in terms of the CPAs, it is a land holding instrument, a legal entity that holds the land. So the traditional leaders are part of that structure. In fact, in many cases, we have advised the traditional leaders not to be elected into the CPA leadership, but rather to be ex officio members of the CPA or trust, so that they are not elected in or elected out. They become members of that. In some areas, we have even indicated that they should be the donors of those trust or legal entities, so that they are ex-officio members of those legal entities. We have not transferred the one of the confusion around this is if the traditional the land is registered in the tribal authority, it is taken as it belongs to the chief personnel. And I think these are the perceptions that have been permeating not only in KwaZulu-Natal, because the case in point in KwaZulu-Natal is that there are 6 or 7 claims, land claims, under Utsu, which is different chiefs under the king. And the king was saying that all of that land must be registered in one title deed under the traditional structure. And the people are saying, no, it must be registered under the 7% legal entity, CPA. Now, the matter needs to be resolved that land belongs to the people and not to the traditional leader in his own name. Because that has been the challenge. It's a continuous challenge because it's not only in KZN, but as Nkosi indicated, even in Tizana, we have registered a legal entity. That legal entity involves the traditional leaders who are in that area. They are part of that legal entity which owns the land. But now the issue that has been raised is, why did we leave the king out of the legal entity? But the issue there was that those who claimed were those people who were physically removed and who are in the immediate environment. And the local chief that is there is actually part of the structure. And they said the policy is saying that we must transfer the land to those communities and not to the individual chiefs. This matter is ongoing. It keeps on coming up. We are trying to explain the position of government, the policy that says the land is with the people and not with the individual traditional leaders. But this matter continues to come up, and some of the traditional leaders are challenging it, are raising it. But this is the policy that was followed generally. And then on the challenges around land prices, we may not be able to say that challenge is over now, because it's an ongoing. It is the nature of the work that we always confronted with buying the land and then transferring it. So you may have no problem with that landowner, but this problem may come with the other landowner who may not accept that price. We follow the normal processes of making offers. If he does not accept the offer, we expropriate and we take the land at the market price that we have evaluated to be the relevant market price for that area. Then on the question of the restitution beneficiaries, what capacity? Various communities are at different levels of skill, but the procedure that we follow is that when we hand over the land, we look for, especially if it's a going concern, where there's production, current production that is happening, we look at the schemes that are available, and we engage caretakers or strategic partners that can assist the community to run the project, so that it is not it is not dying in their hands when we bought it as a going concern. Then in the period, we try and identify from the people who are able to come and run this this project. In some cases we are successful, but in others there is no people who are ready to take over that project as it is. So in which case we have to have a long term instead of a 1 year arrangement, maybe a 3 or 5 year arrangement with a strategic partner to make sure that production continues on that project. Then, in the interim, we ask for a skill transfer plan. How are the strategic partners or caretakers going to transfer skills to the current? If I give the example of the project in Nelspruit, where the whole farm, we had a contract where the local people, the claimants, had an agreement with the landowner, and they were put on the project to see how the project is run. So they become part of the employees or workers of the farm. And then you can assess after a year whether that. I think in Mpumalanga what they've done, they've extended that arrangement for another year after the land transfer. And then the involvement of other departments. You have given a Malioskop as an example. We have given, it was still the previous MEC of agriculture in Mpumalanga, that he dedicated staff to work with Malioskop people. In fact, incidentally, some of the projects, because there is a police camp on that land, and then there is a unit by agriculture where the Department of Agriculture has got a project on the farm in Malioskop. I agree, it's a very good piece of land. But I think the challenge there was the transfer of the land into the hands of those communities there. We have agreed in principle that they can use the land on a caretakership arrangement. But the transfer, the delay on the transfer was because the title deed, that land is under public works. When we wanted to transfer the land from public works to the community in the name of the community, the title deeds were missing. They went to the group office, they could not get the title deeds. They had to apply for copies of the title deeds. And I think now they are in the process of transferring that land to Malioskop. But with regard to land use, we have said that they must actually make these agreements with the provincial department of agriculture so that they can agree on the arrangement. I think one of the challenges that we had in this particular project was that the Department of Agriculture had to, because they said they even wanted to use that land as a training center. So the debate now was how much land must be left within the Department of Agriculture for their project. The provincial Department of Agriculture had to make a determination of how much land, I think it was between 100 hectares and 400 hectares, which must be left in the Department of Agriculture so that they continue to run that land as a training center. But there was also a view that the Department of Agriculture does not want to continue running that as a training center. So they had to make a determination, and I think that delayed the process of transfer. I think that covered the additional question.
Okay. Now, just before I give over to another individual, I think there is one or two other questions that I would like to respond to. in addition to what the Land Claims Commissioner has said in relation to the Memorandum of Understanding, if I had another member, Charlie, question, he was saying, what achievement, what have you achieved through these Memoranda of Understanding? We only reflected in our presentation the Memorandum of Understanding with the University of Fort Hare, but we have others that are already in operation. This is the latest, the Fort Hare one is the latest. We have Memoranda of Understanding with the KwaZulu Natal University, the what is University of Limpopo, the Walter Sisulu University, and so forth, who are helping us in relation to issues of implementation of the Communal Land Rights Act, and that those memoranda of understanding are already in operation. The second issue I wanted to respond to is in relation to what I would call, in broad terms, integration, coordination and coherence among the spheres of government and departments of government. I think this is a government-wide problem. It's not only peculiar to our ministry. And I think cabinet, now and again, is trying to deal with this challenge. I'm sure at some point we will be able to make it happen. There's still a problem around integration and coordination amongst the various departments. As this committee would attest, we have said in the past that government programs, including land reform, are in the main national programs that must be implemented by various stakeholders, particularly in government. But what is not happening is integration of planning and budgeting amongst the various departments. That is still a big challenge at a government-wide level. Coming back to the ministry in relation to this, I think we have made progress, significant progress, in this regard as a ministry, where the two DGs since 2005 have been driving a process of alignment of the two departments to a point where now we have this presidential priority project, which we have called the Land and Agrarian Reform Project, where we are forming a project management unit consisting of the two departments. I think that is significant progress in terms of alignment. And another good thing about that project is that it will not only end between the two departments and the minister, it will rope in other departments such as Department of Housing, Education, Transport, and so on, because the nature of the project that you are embarking on, in fact, that it requires that the beneficiaries that you will settle in terms of that the program must receive a basic services from these other departments. So we are hoping that in the 18 months that is left for us to implement that project, we'll see much more alignment, much more integration, much more coordination among the various departments, particularly within the ministry. The other matter I thought I should respond to, I don't think it has been put clearly enough in the challenges. It's around municipalities not applying for support. I think this relates in particular to land for settlement. Because as the Department of Land Affairs, we cannot just go out there and buy land for settlement, for housing purposes. We need to get a request, particularly from municipalities in this regard, who need land for housing purposes, for settlement purposes. I think it relates to that. However, perhaps Duo will speak to this later. But we have also taken a proactive approach in this regard of involvement of municipalities in land reform. The area-based planning tool is one of the tools that we have devised that would ensure that municipalities and other spheres of government participate in the land reform program and have this program reflected in the provincial government and development strategies as well as the integrated development plans of municipalities. The labor tenant claims, the disputed labor tenant claims issue. I think the acting COO might have missed the point there in terms of his presentation. The expectation given our history of dealing with the disputed labor tenant claims is that they are more or less in that region of 200 per annum. But in the past financial year, we have not had, that zero means we have not had disputed labor tenant claims, which is progress, which is an achievement, because it means there are fewer farmers now who are disputing claims of labor tenants. So it must be seen positively rather than negatively. I thought I needed to explain that. I will call upon TDG Shabane to respond to some of the questions that are related to the program.
Thanks, Madam. Madam Chair, if I may add to the issues of the MOU, the forecast of the MOUs has been significantly expanded in the sense that we have engaged vigorously private sector organizations that are involved in agriculture. 2 days ago, I have received a framework document from Agribusiness Chamber that represents 72 agribusinesses in South Africa. The people that can assist us with settlement support. But obviously from that national framework, we need then to draft specific or sector-specific or commodity-specific MOUs to say in the citrus fruit, we need to work with people with knowledge and footprint, expertise and infrastructure in there. In maize, we must do the same thing. In red meat, we must do the same thing and so on and so on and so on. So that work is in progress. We have also done a similar thing with organized agriculture. In particular, AgriSA, they have responded. So we are also looking at what role can they play across the board, even in terms of education. So we'll be having a meeting with them on the 11th, the 10th or 11th of this month, to take further, next month, yes, to take further those agreements. Again, on MOUs, we have an MOU, two MOUs that are effectively working, from which we are drawing good practice, both in KwaZulu-Natal and in Mpumalanga, in the sugar industry. We have already been implementing those, at least for the last 3 years. So there are indeed, Honorable Zal is not here, there are examples of them that are working. Just to take further the response of the DG with regard to integration with municipalities, we are rolling out the land reform area-based plan across the country. We have not initiated the process in all municipalities. We have made available at a national level, on the basis of the needs expressed by provincial offices, 20 million rand for provincial offices to hire people with the necessary expertise in terms of coordinating these plans, because we don't want to have area-based plans for its own sake, but rather they must be informed by the need. Because the question was, to what extent do land reform acquisition and land reform beneficiaries need links to ICT? Area-based plans are precisely aimed at doing that, linking the needs of the beneficiaries to the ICT, so that
your area-based plan becomes your sub-sector plan of an IDP, which will be adopted by the municipality by resolution, so that it becomes a legal document around which you operate in the particular area. And ultimately, once fully rolled out across the country in all district municipalities, you will have 5-year strategic plan for land reform across all municipalities once fully rolled out. I think we are looking at strengthening coordination at the center to make sure that we continuously improve on the quality. Overlapping restitution claims, I think the chief, I see he's got a note here. Restitution claims and labor tenant claims. I think it's just beyond labor tenants. It's generally across farm dwellers. People who are living on commercial farms. I think the experience we have is that in most cases where we have a challenge of not being able to do this, is with regard to the outstanding claims, which the commission has not dealt with. The chief said he will be coming to the committee to present a strategy in terms of how to deal with the outstanding claims. That strategy must therefore include how do we balance this thing. And our examples in some parts of the country is that we've got to be very careful about this. Otherwise, we are going to have the same situation in the Eastern Cape that we're talking about just now on safe land, where you've got people that are missing, and then you've got claimants, and then you have conflict. With respect to occupiers, farm dwellers, and so on, labor tenants, the situation is completely different. Some of those people may have been there for generations. But then you've got a legitimate claim against that land. What do you do? So we can't have a blueprint in terms of how we deal with it. And I think what experience has taught us is that we must deal with each case as it comes. Because in some instances where we've negotiated some settlement between claimants and occupiers, there is almost violence in some area that is threatening to erupt between the two groups. And we don't want to leave that situation happening. We start seeing affecting violence, erupting in parts of KZN. So it's something we must tread very carefully in dealing with it. Dealing with the issue of legal representation of... I think how we've put this challenge here is exaggeration of the problem. It is not complete absence of legal representation. We have an agreement with the Royal Legal Trust and the Legal Aid Board. We are saying, yes, that legal representation is not sufficient. But we are not saying it's completely absent. We put 5 million rand for legal representation. The Legal Aid Board brings their bid to the party. The Royal Legal Trust is also raising donor funding. We work together in terms of trying to deal with that. So I just needed to correct that. I think the DG has responded to the question of the target of 200 versus the nil return almost, the non-achievement. But I think if you look again on the current strategic plan of 2007-2008, you will realize that that output we have completely removed. Because we are finding that it is much more easier to negotiate and reach settlement and acquire the land rather than to go to court. Because if you go to court, let us get stuck for long periods of time. And you are not guaranteed. If you were to take extra cases now, if you take extra cases that are in court, the majority of those cases are against or are rather in favor of landowners. So I'm saying we have then had to change tact to say, where there is no resistance and there is no... The farmer is willing to negotiate. Let's negotiate, let's settle, and let's acquire the land. And it turns out to be much quicker that way rather than fighting even when it's not necessary. Sorry. Yes. I think.
I thought you were saying she meant Esther.
I meant Esther.
You see, again, we had to grapple yesterday with the same question when we were discussing with the select committee. We are at the end of this month. We are going to get a review where we've asked two experts, legal experts, one senior candidate, to really look at the issue around the loopholes of ESTA. It could be legal judicial precedent where our own part was weaker in terms of the inputs were submitted, poor legal representation and so on. But the point is that we must be very careful to not to rush to Parliament to go and amend ESTA, when in actual fact the problem is that we have failed to enforce ESTA. So this report is going to tell us at the end of this month whether we should be amending ESTA. There may well be loopholes in ESTA, but the point which we acknowledge is that we have not had capacity, there's been limited legal representation to represent the committee. So we will again share the report with the committee. Madam Chair, let me respond very quickly to that. Department of Land Affairs, it may sound arrogant, it is not a law enforcement agent. All we have to do is to mobilize legal support, make sure that they are lawyers. But when matters are reported, when a case is opened, people have to go and report to a police station. It is for the police to investigate. It is for the prosecutor in the Department of Justice to make sure that the case is well prepared and is presented to court. So it is the entire justice system that is involved, not just the Department of Land Affairs. So again, we are saying this is an area we all need to attend to. In our discussion with the committee yesterday resolved that they will call a workshop to discuss this issue, to bring in all those that are involved in the process, not just Land Affairs. Because Land Affairs, you can have all the lawyers you want in the world. But people are saying prosecutors are colluding with the magistrate and the farmer, they go to the same church and so on and so on and so on and so on. They go to the same church. This is what one of the members was saying yesterday. So you've got to bring in the entire justice system to discuss this and deal with. Maybe if you're talking about witness, we have to look at that totality. I may agree with you that there is an element of witness. And this review will tell us exactly where the witness is.
The legal representation for the public. He advised them, how to go about it. You know? The question of the justice and this thing, it doesn't hold water. You know, that was part of the detail in the issue that all the research is just community. If you can, when the farm workers are dictated, you organize them, sure. But that's not the only research is just community. You know, I even said that if you put the legal research, you go to the legal law committee directly. I want to know to what extent has the department mobilized those legal guys to assist. Once the matter is before the court, of course, it's not their head. And secondly, also linked with the clustering of these departments. Has Department A sent to Department B or not? If not, why not? You know? You see, when we discussed this matter a long time ago, we even said to ourselves, there is what we call the short term, middle term, and the long term. Now they are focusing on the long term instead of dealing with the short term. They must tell us how far they've gone on a short term basis while the pie is still on. Well, the pie may not even come this year. It will come maybe after 2009, as things turn out. Let me leave that. Let's concentrate now on the short term basis. What are they doing?
Let
me
share.
Let
me
just give you an example. How weak our study. We still have a woman, an old woman, in the health ministry in the military from February this year. From February. Still in the group that old for old women. Wanting to be buried with her husband in that farm. And the new farmer says, not here. So the poor woman is actually in the ice, even after now, from February. So I don't know whether you want to, because it's a paper. Lender can make her can graduate. We people can graduate. The premier can do anything. We don't do it as women, we can't do it. You know, the man says, we stood down. We and men are drunken. Nothing matter. Can we have the earth and burn them from somewhere? What is going to happen to that? Because those people say, it's our culture. Say, she needs to be next to us. The husband. The new farmer who came said, not in my farm, somewhere else. So we all need to say, with all the places that we can say. So I'm just saying, something the middle term, so to say, it's not that easy, we are not a person. That's the example that we are sitting this year. And you see it in the paper. You know that it's a court case. Maybe because it's just a woman, old woman, so to speak. Maybe it's what she or she there would be something else to the human.
Yes, Madam Chair. You see, I don't know. We have not presented in this report what we are doing right now. We can. Give you that. So we can circulate that report. There's a number of things. Right now, exactly those organizations are talking about, the campus law clinic. We are currently paying the lawyer they are employing. The department is paying those lawyers. Right now, as we speak. In fact, even before this financial year, they were running out of money on the verge of shutting down. We negotiated with foreign donors who made money available to retain these skills. The Legal Resources Center you are talking about is almost on the verge of shutting down its banks because of limited donor funding. So. Now we've given 5 million rand to the Royal Legal Trust that works with law campus clinics, that works with both NGOs across the country. But we have also made provision for the long term, in the medium term expenditure period, for additional provision of legal support. So right now, we are making money available. We are having an agreement with the Legal Aid Board, the Rural Legal Trust, where we are representing, we are making legal representation available. But also, the department, the provincial land reform offices, are able to appoint practically any attorney that is competent to represent a farm worker who is under threat of eviction at any given time. In the past, that was not the case. We are now able to do that. I think the CFO is here. We are now able to do that. In the Eastern Cape, people, in the absence of these campus law clinics in some of these areas or limited capacity, the provincial land reform in the Eastern Cape has been using private attorneys to do this work. So it's not like we are not doing anything. Now, on the point that is being raised about Syria, you see, again, I think one of the difficulties is that is why we did this review. Because I think some of the assumption is that some of the things like barriers are issues that must be dealt with Esther. We have found that issues of burials and crematoria are issues of provincial competence, not national competence. It's provincial government that must come up with legislation that regulates issues of burials, not the National Department of Land Affairs. So you can't find that solution in Esther. So that is why exactly we did this review. I think we've got too many problems, and we seem to be frustrated. We are obviously, correctly so, all frustrated, but I think we look for some solutions in wrong places, and ESSA can provide all those solutions. So all what we are saying is that we do know that some provinces have not put this legislation in place. I only know of one province that has already done that, in KwaZulu-Natal. I'm not aware in the other provinces whether they've put this legislation in place. In some instances, it's municipalities who are saying, you are not going to bury people anywhere. You can't bury people on farms. You must only bury them on cemeteries that are proclaimed by municipalities as cemeteries, not anywhere. So maybe then it is the total failure of the government system, not ESCA. Hence, we are talking about this review. And we can tell you now some of the of those issues. So I thought I should just respond to that.
Yeah.
At the end of this month, Honorable Bishop, we'll receive the report, and we undertake to share it with the committee at the end of this month.
No, where I wanted to come in is in response to Mamuli, some of the issues raised by Mamuli, and the particular one that I want to talk to is eviction. Mamuli. 2 days ago, I was at a workshop invited by the wine industry. And amongst the people who made presentations on evictions of the people living on farms was the Commission on Human Rights. It was lawyers for human rights. It was people from Legal Resources Center, particularly in the Western Cape. one thing became clear. But in terms of the legislation that we have, and in terms of the constitution, we may not be able to stop eviction. I recall that one of the people who was working with women on farm was calling for a moratorium, which many people have called for. Basically, a moratorium says evictions are banned. No one is allowed to evict. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem, it takes you to the Constitution immediately you say that. It says there are rights that are going to be trampled upon. Those rights are embedded in the Constitution itself. Your act of coming with a moratorium or a ban on eviction may be unconstitutional. So I'm saying the problem is bigger than we think. Okay. Yeah. It's bigger than we think. In order to bring about a moratorium, you need to legislate. And even if you legislate, you need also to ask the question, is that piece of legislation constitutional? Because landowners also have rights. And those rights are given by the Constitution to them. So if you are going to expropriate their rights, you must do it in a particular way, which is guided also by the Constitution, how you do that. Okay. So I'm saying it's a big issue. We as a department, as administration, we are trying to figure out how do you get out of this thing. Okay. And as I said several times to this committee, to the study group and so on, we had tried as a department to create a class of non-evictable occupiers. Again, the legal and constitutional issue came up to say, you can't, with the current constitution, you can't do that. Okay. And I said to this committee, the only way in which we can deal, in my view, and I think in the view of a number of the officials in the department, many of the officials in the department, is the course that we have taken, which is, let's identify where these people are, these farm dwellers. Let's find land and buy land for them and settle them properly and ensure that they have sustainable livelihood. That's all that we can do. And we are in the process. You see, this land and agrarian reform a presidential priority project I was talking about, which we have to implement in the next 18 months, is basically dealing with that to say, let's work with municipalities, let's work with everyone, let's identify where we can settle these people who are called the farm dwellers, such that they are able to lead, you know, sustainable lives wherever they are. So I'm saying that's the only solution, which is immediate, medium, and long term.
I always thought that the land reform, the lack of vision for the state to find land. For farm dwellers who do not need the criteria that are laid down by those for people to claim the land, the right to the land in which they live. And I thought also that in addition to that, the Expropriation Act is there to to facilitate the acquisition of land. For instance, crushed road where any testing needs to be buried in the village. So I don't understand why Christians is such a one to say something like that. That's because the poor old lady is where they say, but maybe this report is going to assist us in showing us as to how it is not possible for this thing to happen when then we require the thing to be a part of the thing to provide for those who happen to fall sick.
I think I must agree with you that we are not going to be able to stop it. That one will not happen. And I must sympathize with Mamlidia by saying our people. Because you will find that their business is a concept affect even the deaf farmers. You get people coming on your farm and they want to put up their tent. And then you've got to drag them out. Then that farmer is not going to be your people because he is the farmer. And I agree with you, and especially the idea that you anticipate or you think of buying land for these people. Another thing which I think would sort of obviate this problem is you people going around, especially to those homelands. There are farms there which are not yet occupied. Now, you apply for a farm which is vacant. You go to Bishop if you are from the Eastern Cape every day, and it takes 100 years before they can give you that farm. And by the time you get there, there are people there are farm dwellers who have established themselves around there. So you've got to feed those people because you've got that farm. So those problems are going to happen as long as you still have the provinces like this, or where you have got to repeatedly go to them for a vacant farm to buy. But I agree with you that we do need to get a piece of land for these people where they can live.
And do you want to keep their diseases?
No, I'm not sure. No, it's okay. I would like the CFO to respond on the corporate services issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Julia. The first question, and I'll try to grab some of the later questions that came up so that we can save some time. The staff retention, have you reviewed, implemented, what are the new strategies? As indicated in our report, we have indicated that we've reviewed that, and we started implementing the strategies that we've implemented. We're focusing on areas that were challenges, like, for example, to look at this situation. We are assisting with a situation whereby the program was really being faced with a challenge of coming almost to a halt because of the high staff turnover and not necessarily meeting its deadline. So what we have to look at is the issue of the uncertainty of tenure or in terms of job security, that people, because most of the appointments that are done there are temporary. So we have to change the job tenure there to permanent. So what we've done is we've converted we said that those staff that are in the restitution should be converted to permanent, but also when we advertise new posts, we advertise them as permanent. The strategy also is that capacity, because we've already made a lot of investment as a department in terms of skilling. Those staff members, once we are through with our program of restitution, they will be required to learn the form. That's one area of, and we also looked at issue of university, so it was not just about issue of just looking at the job tenure, but also looking at the for me very simple. So how do we entice people not to go and ensure that we will retain the skills? So we've come up with some ways of upskilling with that. But as members would know, self-contention also is something that needs to be reviewed constantly to ensure that you are always relevant depending on what are the challenges that you face at any point in time. If you look at, for instance, at land reform, I think the other challenge that we find is that you are more like a training and development institution where you find that most of our people are getting told. They're getting told by other departments because of this, you know, so and what the pointing also is going to be high mobility, because you find that the area that we find ourselves in is that high mobility of staff. You have find people serving a year, getting promoted to, for instance, a assistant director, 1 year, next year the deputy director, the next year the director. So that kind of environment really doesn't create some stability. I think that and it's not our department only, I think it's government-wide. So how do we deal with this problem? Because, for instance, our department would be saying, we're grooming the person to become a director in 2 years, 3 years, and we've got another department just taking that person away and giving them a director. Why is that person not really at that level of you know, to take up that position? But but those are the kind of things that happens. The other issue is, if you look at, for instance, at land planning and information, if you're talking about surveyors, they are living at the government for the current sector because of competitive salaries. Can you compete with the past? So what we are looking at is how to meet them. I mean, the issue of bravery, let's start getting people to, you know, it's not much, but I think it will take us somewhere, both long term. We started discussions with GIPSA to say how can they assist us in terms of acquisition of skills, because that's what, if you're looking at the immediate need, we have to go and acquire the skills from outside, so that importing the skills. So those are the kind of things that we are looking at when we talk about the staff retention, it's something that you have to look at, you know, holistically, because it takes into account a lot of issues, not just internal, but also external, like as you look at your private sector, what it does, what other departments and so forth are doing. In terms of land reform beneficiaries, in terms of their skills, what kind of skills is he saying that we are going to be putting up programs there. Basically, what we've done is we've gone to beneficiaries that have received land from the land reform program, and what we do is we do a skills audit. So what kind of needs are there for them to be able to run the project successfully? What are the kind of skills they require? We look at your basic skills skills in terms of farming, basic skills in terms of management, and from those basic skills, that's what we call the skills audit. From there, then we go and partner with training institutions to say, develop this program for us, so that, and relevant for that matter, because we also take into account the profile of our beneficiaries, that we want to ensure that programs at appropriate level. So those are the kind of, if you're talking about skills, how the skills audit and the type of beneficiaries, that's the approach that we go to the program, project by project, and say, what are the needs, and from there we come up with a framework to say what kind of training and development needs we should attend to.
Aren't you making
some agreement that maybe signed in a contract so that you can defend it. And I think 5 years down the line is sufficient for it. But unlike just send them loosely, they come in. Of course, the government can compare this budget to the sector. But they have to have the opportunity for the sector position. You know, with the few subjects for it. Could be affecting them from it. You cannot just send them and then come loose when they feel they have better options from the private sector. They just leave on our strength. I think we have to be done for you to the period.
And then we link them with whether the man or whoever, then out of that, we have monitored the process to understand that we can confidently say that those people in the next 6 months or 2 months, they will be 8% on their own. So that we know which areas are we talking about. Province and province. We can go there ourselves.
Yes, if I can, I think the GDPSC Act was talking to, we are talking about more in terms of your academic training, because obviously it would have an application to some extent, but when you are talking about the MOUs that we are busy entering into with other stakeholders, it was precisely to look at the mental problems. So how do we then ensure that it's not just about getting this theoretically, but also ensuring that there's someone who's helping you hands-on in terms of applying what would have been acquired as a student. So those are the kind of things that we report to based on the two approaches that we are adopting in terms of trying to participate within
the academic approach. You said in your response, the beneficiary are not members. There are two separate issues. They've got the buffer issue with academics. They've got the other issue in terms of mentorship and in terms of those beneficiaries of land form. You say, the farm A, these are the beneficiaries of land form. They received this land, it was productive. For example, was about two areas there. In the dairy farm in Pumalanga, where they got that dairy farm, today you don't even know where the farm is now. To say, this is what is done. And you say, as I'm saying, next time now, you say, farm A and farm B and farm C, these are the beneficiaries of the scheme in terms of the land reform. Then, therefore,
Okay,
now you see. No, I see you doing this. I don't know what I'm
talking about. No.
Oh, okay. No, okay. Yeah. Please, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. So what I'm saying is that the next time, you know that the beneficiary is A and the beneficiary is B and the beneficiary is C. We've done this thing for this. Yeah. We've then discovered that these people in terms of mental health speak about, they showed this key and that skill. This is what we've done. Some things are so that when we go through out of this or off site, we're able to see for ourselves that what we are seeing is what we think is going to happen. That's what the separate things do.
Yes. So thank you, Honorable Member, we'll see that the other support
Chair, if I may come in, because I see some confusion here. Mom Lydia. What Sarah was speaking to was land reform beneficiaries, not people who were recruited to come and work in the department. Yeah, but I take the point that you're making to say that one of the conditions shortly that these people are going to work for us for a particular period of time. I think we addressed it in some of the meetings that we have with yourself. But I think when Dr. Mahalimele comes in, she will be talking to that because it's mainly the section that offers the that section that deals with people who are recruited in the program. Of course, they do that in conjunction with human resource management. I don't know why he said no.
I think if I can just elaborate, we have, if you go into the current structure, the issue of testing the terms and conditions of the failure of with the external adversary. We are also taking it further. We've come up with a program where we are going to appoint graduates and we are going to scale them so that they bring them up, you know, to acceptable level so that they can become trainers and so forth. We are also putting that clause in that they have to stay for many years with the department. So it's certainly that area we are addressing so that we can.
Yes,
because
you just
said
next time you also should have the people who have the department at home. Who was the first people? There are people who not just wanting money, but you see there are. I was learning in university. I was zero percent. How many staff numbers? You can talk to quantity, what numbers do you need of staff
how much, you know, how much do you have? And that will also be addressed once the structure has been changed, because currently we're dealing with what the current structure, but we must now respond to this new structure. How are you going to talk? What are the things that you're going to ensure that this is the demand based on your new structure? How are you going to get the supply and so forth? So once we got the structure approved, we will be in a position also to start ensuring that the impact plan has to is aligned with the structure. The skills audit, I think we talked about the skills audit, because it talks to the land reform beneficiaries, that once it's done the skills audit analysis, you then come up with training programs, start the implementation plan, engage with the academic institutions and start implementing that plan. The inflexible recruitment process that we are talking about, not a challenge that is faced with the department. I think we have it across government, where we find that while you're going through some of the processes, you need new staff because you have to go through a number of bureaucratic processes. We are working with the relevant departments. For instance, like I think DKP is currently looking at how they can review the SMS framework, to how do you ensure that the framework is aligned with the kind of demands that we have so that it's responsive. But I think you even gave an example where you've not been able to appoint two ICT managers precisely because of the recruitment process. That's very inflexible. You have to go to 3, 4, 5 number of, officials, and at the end of the day, you find that you've lost the people, or you don't get the next award. Like I said, it's not something that I'm confined to our department, it's department government-wide, but we are engaging with the and so that we do away with it. Disaster recovery, IT-related issues, infrastructure, those issues are corporate, they don't relate to land reform. It's more in terms of our internal systems of IT. I hope I've touched on all the issues that we are
Planning information.
Thank you, Chair. The first question came from Honorable Member. In terms of the provinces which have the SG offices, in terms of the old government, the Office of the Surveyor General were established also in terms of or in accordance to the old provinces that we had. For Natal, the Cape, the Orange Free State, and Transvaal. So we only had the 4 Surveyor General offices in those provinces. So now with the new government, since we have got 9 provinces, we've been trying to open offices in each and every province. Last year, we were able to open one in Mpumalanga, Nelspruit. This year, we're just about to open Mpumalanga. We struggled with finding accommodation in Mpumalanga, but we've since found that one, and we've been able to recruit also to fill up the post for Limpopo, and also putting IT infrastructure in that office. So maybe in a month or two, we'll be opening up that office. The next one to be opened will be in the Eastern Cape. The Surveyor General for Cape Town is busy separating records because he's also the one that supplies that service for the Eastern Cape province at the present moment. And then the following ones then will be Northern Cape and Northwest. Then the second question related to race and gender for landowners. Are these records indicating this now? The answer is no. We, according to the report that was made by the acting COO, we said we have just appointed consultants that are working on this issue, IBM and Nobusa, and we are just awaiting the report from them to just be a couple of months, and then we will start implementing. And it was also part of the recommendations of FLO, and we have said that in the future maybe we can review Regulation 18 of the Deeds Act, which will not only reflect race and gender, but also nationality. Then the other question was on LAMP, the fact that the minister prioritized this piece of legislation. Yes, we are working very hard on this legislation, and we actually presented it now. It's now in cabinet. We presented it to the admin and governance cluster. No. Cabinet committee. In beginning of June, and they gave us some comments which we have addressed, but also the ministry also had their own comments in just refining this bill. So we're looking at that, and we'll be presenting it back to the minister very soon. Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
I'm puzzled by the fact that up to now, the question of gender and race and nationality of people who are acquired rights is still not taken into account, when everybody should know that the thing we started expressing all concern in Parliament about the question of land ownership by foreigners. Why is it that up to now, this is not taken into account?
You know, we were told here some time ago that the people we should take from, the people from there, they are still registered in this as foreigners. I don't know what extent that is concerned. I want to recommend to the committee that next time when they come and report to us, you must get a full report from them. Who contains the bottom line? Number two, the deed offices. You know, we're told some time ago that these deed offices are being opened right around the country and they are addressing this issue. We're even told some time ago that the deed office, it was a mass ban. Now there's ties and ties and ties of files, which is generating problems when you buy a land A or a house A to B. You can't even trace the registration of that person. I don't know if that has been like that. I want them to give us a report when they come there. Because I recall one case where the person bought a house or a land or whatever. Then when he was registered, registered to a person who died years ago, they could not be traced that person. You know? I said, no. I want the next report to my favor to the detailed report of that one. Last question. I want to recommend we extend the time that we gave the commissioner on three areas that we must get that full detailed report before the close of business on Friday the 31st of August. One, the unfairness issue, full detailed report before the close of business on the 31st of August 2007. Two, the Madalascom, the White River issue, before the close of business on the 31st. Three, Mark Bati Corporation issue. Those three test methods must be before the close of business on the 31st. Failing which, I don't know, we have to take some steps. I think you write the minutes, and those are not performance multipliers, then we can't continue the discussion. And certain things, you know, the point to refer to the commission, when you are responding to these two cases, he found he just wanted. He does not know. He can tell you, he don't know the decision. We may have the information that we don't know. But I'm not concerned enough. Because we want information from you. We may have updated the information with this letter now. But one thing is clear. We are paying you for that. And therefore, must leave. Thank you.
I just wanted to indicate to the Honorable Lali that in my response I did indicate that we will give the detailed report on this. I appreciate that he's giving the date of the 31st August. I had this Friday in my reaction with the response with the officer concerned. So I have this Friday as the deadline by which we will get this response. And I did indicate that I was responding from memory, and in my response I said that we will give the latest information based on the report that we get from the team. So I don't think there is much that I can add to that. And in fact, when I'm saying that we needed to get the updated report, it was because I avoided giving the last information because I am not on the ground. I'm not the commissioner having jurisdiction in any of the province. So I was just giving a response as I know. I think that on the Maguamajol, I know there is a it was not raised here, but in the list of questions that were raised, that information will be included. So I could respond if the questions were raised, they were not raised here.
Yeah, I don't know. Dr. Makalmela may have to respond, but what I can say here on. I think we have reported on that before. The problem that we are facing from people in Gosi like yourself who are legal minds about the question of disclosing, you know, race and in particular there were conflicting views from the legal minds around that, but the strategy that we adopted was that we will deal with this along the lines of FICA. Okay. And there's a team, if I'm not mistaken, in the that is working on disclosure using the elements of FICA. That's what we are working on at the moment. But we have not implemented that because there were legal issues that started to arise. Yes. It means that they have a bank account. Remember the
MP.
It's an MP. It should have. Okay. No, it's a law that...
No, I know.
Oh, okay. But we can provide a detailed report. And I will ask you to provide you a detailed report. Mom Lydia, this is what we found when we came in 1994, that people who were in the former Bantustan were registered were thought to be foreigners, in fact, regarded as foreigners in terms of our
duty.
She threw it us like that before.
After the new year, after a month, we were saying that we have said the name of the MOU and the
MOU.
MOU.
Yeah.
Name and the
whereabouts. Okay. Thank you.